Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula Vale here. So excited to share today with you an amazing woman from Sweden. Isn't that just so fantastic? It's so wonderful connecting with wonderful people in other countries and sharing them with you. I just love it. We have with us today Susanna Upbolt. She has studied and practiced feng shui for 18 years. She's a feng shui expert. She owns and runs the Nordic School of Feng Shui. She has taught hundreds of students since 2010. I'm so excited to chat with you today, Susanna, and learn more about feng shui. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I think it's fun as well and exciting to be here.
Yes. Oh, so fantastic. Well, let's begin. And boy, I'm really anxious to learn about this, because something that I know you talk about with feng shui is clutter in the home. And so please tell us about that and what that means in the feng shui world.
Clutter is, it's a very important thing when it comes to feng shui. It's not an old thing. I mean, feng shui, it's ancient teachings, but the clutter, that's not ancient, because that's something we have created maybe since the Second World War or something. But that makes our homes, the energy in our homes, it makes us feel like stuck, and it really affects us badly. And also depending on where in the house we have this clutter.
Oh.
So since your house is an extension of yourself, it's like a mirror of yourself, you can also see that it's going to affect you on a deeper level as well.
So where would areas in the house to have clutter, like, for example, in my kitchen, I always save cards people send me. So I have cards on the windowsills and all over. Is that clutter? Would you say a kitchen is not a good place to have clutter? What are the best and worst areas?
Yeah, the worst areas to have clutter, I would say, is the entrance, the hallway where you come into your house or into your home, because that's the mouth of chi, the mouth of energy. So that's the worst place, I would say. And the bedroom, it's also a very special room where you should just keep it very simple and quite clean, not to bring too much stuff in there. And the best place to put clutter, I don't know. I don't want to have clutter anywhere.
Yes.
But it's also dependent how you are affected, because some people, they don't feel so affected and they kind of like their things to some extent. But also I can promise you that the feeling in the room will be more calm and serene if you don't have any clutter. So when you have your postcards in the windows, it might look a bit busy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would look better if you put a potted plant there instead, because if the room is busy because you have things all over the place, then you will feel busy inside and maybe stressed.
Oh.
So it depends on how you feel. I mean, if you're a stressed person, I would certainly recommend you to take all your clutter away so you can feel more calm and relaxed.
So a lot of the clutter is the busyness, and that affects us energetically?
Yes, yes, it does. And also it affects you because it's going to make the energy flow stuck. So it gets stagnant energy. And where energy is stagnant, it's going to cause trouble. You don't want to have stagnant energy anywhere.
Yes.
So yes. Just so, keep the flow going.
Yeah, kind of. Keep that flow open. So then would you say a good suggestion there then for me, what I'm thinking, because I am sentimental with these things, make myself a particular box that I can store my cards in, and when I want to take them out and look at them, I can, and then I can put them back in and store them? Would that be a good way to unclutter?
That would be great. And also, if you don't want to put them in a box, you can put them in album. Is it called an album?
Oh, yes,
where you can,
yes.
Paste them in, and you can take it out and you look at them as a book.
So,
or you can find some other solution, but you don't have to have them out there all the time.
Yes. I love that. So would you say clutter also would be, let's say you have a table in one of your rooms, should you just have a few things on that table and not have that table overwhelmed?
Yeah, I would say it's good to have some open space so the energy can move over the table, the surface of the table.
Wow.
I don't think it should be completely empty, because then it feels like it's just naked. So
mm-hmm.
you should have something that looks nice there. Maybe a vase of flowers or a bowl of fruits or something to make it look nice. But
so,
to keep it off from papers and books and stuff.
And so the effects of decluttering is the energy. Are there any other effects when we declutter?
The energy is so important, because
mm-hmm.
if the energy is not flowing, everything is going to change and affect you. So if you think about your home as your body, so if you have, let's say that you have some defect in your body and the blood cannot flow freely in your body, then you will have aches and pains. And that's exactly what's happening in your home as well, because your life is going to be affected when the energy in your home is not going to flow freely.
Wow. So our goal is to have the energy in the home flow freely.
Yeah. The special thing about feng shui is to find the way of not let the energy flow too fast and not too slow. So to find the good way, the balanced way for the energy to flow. So, and that you can moderate that with the things you put in your room. If you put lots of stuff there, obviously it's not going to flow very freely. And if you have a completely empty room, it's going to flow too fast.
Yes.
So to find something in between, to find the balance in the room. We are always talking about to find the balance and to harmonize the room. So balance is it's a key word in feng shui.
This is so fascinating, Susanna. I love it. And is this scientifically proven?
Actually, up until a few years ago, it was not scientifically proven, because, scientifically, that's when you can do some kind of tests several times in different kind of places, and you should always have the same result. And also it must be published in certain magazines to be called scientific. But nowadays, they can actually prove, with help from the brain waves, that we are affected in a negative way. If we have too much clutter, it can also be shown that we are affected if the height to the ceiling, if it's too low, what's happening if it's too high, because it can also be too high. What's happening if we have not enough daylight, for instance? So you can prove this with the help of the brain waves.
Wow.
To measuring the brain waves. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So the amount of light makes a difference, the height of the ceiling makes a difference.
Everything makes a
wow.
difference. Everything. Because you're affected of everything you have around you.
Yes.
The shapes and the materials and the colors and the lights and absolutely everything.
Wow. Now, Susanna, how would mirrors come into play? Should they face just a certain direction or be in particular rooms? Do mirrors have an effect?
I say that they do have an effect. I know some people said, oh no, there's no energy in a mirror, but I don't agree. I think they have lots of energy and they can do a lot with a room. It can enhance the room. It can make the room look more busy, and you can also you can bring in a view from outdoors. For instance, if you have a beautiful garden, you can hang a mirror, and reflect that beautiful garden. So it's like you have it twice.
Oh wow!
So you can do good things with a mirror, but you can also do some bad things with a mirror as well, because you can also reflect, for instance, like the toilet door,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to have that twice. So you can reflect the clutter, and
yes.
then you will have twice as much clutter, because you are affected what you are seeing and what you can feel in your body.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is so fascinating. I love it. Okay, so I'm going to ask you an example. So what if I have a mirror on one wall? Then can I enhance the energy by having, let's say, a very beautiful picture opposite wall? Would that?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes, that'd be a good thing.
Definitely.
Awesome.
And I think it depends on what you want to do with a room. Do you want to have a calm and relaxed room, or do you want to have a more busy room? Because sometimes you don't want to be relaxed. You maybe it's a working space, or you want to be awake and alert and to
mm-hmm.
produce things.
Yes.
So in that case, it could be perfect.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Do candles make a difference with this flow of energy?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
candles,
oh,
they are energy enhancers. So there are several energy enhancer or chi enhancers. So the daylight is the first energy enhancer. So if you don't have a window, for instance, or if there are curtains in front of the window, you just feel like, oh no, it's too dark in here. I need to open the window to get the light in. So that's the first energy enhancer. And after that, if you cannot have the sunlight or the daylight, you can always light candles or a fire or the electricity, a lamp. So that also enhances the energy in the room, among other things. But that's the most important, and that's what we think about first, the light first,
mm-hmm.
and after that you can bring some flowers or water into the room to enhance the energy.
Oh, now what effect does water have? I think someone told me once that flowing that water in a certain direction isn't good. What does water have to do with the energy?
Yeah, there are lots of rules when it comes to putting water, but if we just look at the basic stuff with water, so it is an energy enhancer, and it's well known to be connected to wealth and to the flow of money. So it's both enhancing the energy and the money. And if you have a water, like a small indoor fountain, for instance, you want the flow to be into the house and not out through the door. That's very important, because otherwise your money will flow out.
Wow.
And it's also very important to have clean water, so it's not disgusting. You just want to change it. That's the same if you have a vase with flowers. Change the water so it's clean and nice and not ugly.
Yes. Oh, this is so fun, Susanna. We do have to pop out for a commercial, but oh my gosh, everyone, Susanna and I will be right back. Thank you. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Welcome back. Oh my gosh, Susanna and I are having so much fun today. Susanna is an amazing feng shui expert. She is in the beautiful country of Sweden, and I'm just so thrilled to have her joining us today. Susanna, this is so fun, and I'm just so full of questions. This is so exciting to learn all of this fantastic information. Tell me, I'd love to know, because so many of us are like, many people are like me, I believe, and love plants. I have a lot of plants in my home. What do plants have to do with our home in as far as feng shui and the energy flow?
Plants are very important, I would say, and it's the most... It's the easiest way to make a nice room. Every room needs some plant, really. And it also has to do with the wood element, because there are several elements. There are five elements in feng shui. There's fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. So the potted plants will be wood, and that's well needed to get the good balance in the room. But also there are other positive things with potted plants, and they are purifying the air, for instance, and they make the room and the air more humid, so it's easier to breathe. And if you have... lots of potted plants in an office, for instance, you can also get more focused, and you can be more creative, and you create a better feeling. So people like to go to work when there are lots of potted plants or green plants.
So you would recommend not having the majority of your plants in one room, but kind of break it up and have them in different rooms?
Oh, yes, definitely. Okay. Because every room needs some plant, definitely.
Oh.
Yeah, there are some feng shui consultants, they would say that, oh, no, you should not have any plants in the bedroom. And that is because the plants, they are producing oxygen,
mm-hmm.
but during the night, they are actually taking the oxygen from you, from the air. So that's the reason why they don't want to have plants in the bedroom. But I would say that it's such a small amount of oxygen you lose in the room. So it's actually not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I rather put some potted plants there, and you get a nice feeling and you get a nice balance in the room. And the beauty of the room is very important. Yeah, so the beauty is enhanced by the plants, I would say.
Yes, yes. I love that. And, you know, plants, they're like our connection to the earth too, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
You know, they bring in that earth connection.
It's the connection to the nature. Mm-hmm. So when we go out into the nature, we feel natural and we feel relaxed. And it's exactly that feeling we bring into our homes when we put the potted plants there.
Yes, yes. Mm. Oh, that is so fun. I love it. I love it. Okay, so we've covered plants. We've covered candles. What about, here's a thought, can our walls be too cluttered?
Oh, yes. If you put lots of paintings or pictures on mm-hmm. the walls, can definitely be too cluttered. And that will create what we call busy chi, because there are lots of information for your brain to take care of. There are lots of colors and shapes and everything that is on the pictures. Your mind has to take care of it and to sort that information. And then you might feel a bit busy inside as well, busy yes. and stressed.
Wow. Now, what about colors, Susanna? Should we have different colors that we use for a color scheme? Will that affect the energy that we're putting into the room?
Yeah. The colors, you can see, or you can look at colors in two different ways when it comes to feng shui. Either you use the colors according to the five elements, because they are also connected to different areas in the room and all that. But for me, I think it's very important to think about the color psychology. How are we affected by the color? What does it do to us? So, for instance, with the color red, if we have lots of red, then it's easy for us to be angry, and it's easy for us to get warm and maybe a bit flustered.
Wow.
It's also, of course, a drama color. So,
wow. So what colors would you recommend to the listeners?
I would say it depends on what kind of room you want to create, because mm-hmm. if you want to sleep, if it's a bedroom, you can use like earthy colors that makes you relax, or you can have green colors, or maybe a little bit of purple or pink, for that matter. Not too hot, not too much red, and not too much blue. Of course, you will sleep well in a blue room, but also if you have too much blue, that can make you depressed.
Wow.
So not too much, and also it makes you cool, and you want to keep the love life running in the
yes.
bedroom, of course. So not too cool. And not too hot either, because you also want to sleep well. So it's about finding the balance there as well.
So would we use, let's say, the color of our comforter and our pillows, our curtains, to help bring in the appropriate colors that we would like to have?
Yeah,
or is it more paint on the wall?
I prefer to have the walls quite natural.
Okay.
I mean, white or light beige or something, because then you can actually very easily change depending on what season it is and what kind of mood you are, or if it's Christmas or if it's summer.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can just change with the throws and the cushions and the curtains and the rugs and all that. But I think everybody should have a pink blanket.
Oh,
a pink blanket. even if you're a man, I think you should have a nice pink blanket to bring out sometimes. If you don't like to have it out there in the room, put it in the covers along. But when you feel that you need it, you can take it out. Because what the pink do to us is that it's a motherly color, and it's like getting a hug from your mother. So if you feel sad, or if you are grieving, or if you have been sick, or anything like that, you feel a bit down, or you just want to have a nice hug, and there is nobody there to hug you, you can actually take that blanket around you and get that. And it's also a very nice color. You cannot be angry, and you cannot be mean if mm-hmm. you have a pink blanket.
Oh, I love it. Now, what colors would you recommend, let's say, for a living room where people just come to sit and be together or watch the television? What would be good colors for just, you know, harmony and happiness in a living room?
Yeah, I would say if you want to talk and you want to have a nice social life and conversations and all that, I would say a light yellow, a light yellow, because that's a warm color and it makes you want to talk. It makes you open up. So that's a good color for a living room, and also for a room where you want to make people talk. So if you are working as some kind of therapist,
mm-hmm.
and you want people to relax and to open up and tell you about things, then you should use the yellow. It's a mild yellow, not the strong yellow, not the fiery yellow.
Mm-hmm.
No.
This is just so cool, Susanna. I just love it. So really, a person can look at this, and we're going to talk later about, you know, what you do particularly for others with helping with this. They can really, with these methods, create the house they want, correct?
Mm. Yeah, I would say I like helping people to feel better, to do better, and to live better lives. That's what feng shui can do, and that's what I can help them with. So first I help them to create good rooms and create the homes they need to feel good. But also, if they are about to maybe build their own home, I can also help them to design their home from scratch, because it's very important that you do it properly from the beginning, because it's so much easier if you do it right from the beginning instead of going back and try to change something afterwards.
Yes.
That's what I do. And a good thing when it comes to houses is to have a square-shaped, equal long size, a square-shaped house. That's the best shape for a house.
Oh, awesome.
So you don't have like an L-shaped house. That's
yes.
not so good feng shui, because then the energy will not flow in the best way in that kind of house.
So would you say that what we have in our homes, the way it's arranged, the colors, you know, with Feng Shui really can make a big difference on our moods, and we don't even realize it?
Oh, yes, definitely. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, what would you say would be the first step someone should take to, you know, change that a little bit?
Yeah.
Contact someone, get advice and start making changes?
Yeah, you can find information on the internet, of course. Mm-hmm. You can read books, but also there is lots of information on the internet. So I think you just need to be a little bit careful. Don't buy everything. Don't believe everything, because sometimes you also have to listen to yourself and your own gut feeling. Does this make sense, really? Because there are lots of strange stuff out there as well. But if you feel that now I am interested in this, and then take the next step to contact a feng shui consultant, or maybe go to a course or some training to learn how to actually do it.
Yes.
That's the next step.
Mm. Yes. This is just really, really exciting. I love it. Now, here's a question, and this may have nothing to do with it, but this, I'm wondering, does the arrangement of the furniture in your room make a difference?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. As we were talking about earlier, we talked about the room, you should not have too much clutter, because then the energy will be stuck and stagnant. When it comes to furniture, you should not have too much furniture either, and not too little. So it's always the matter of finding the right balance there. But also the way you are putting them and placing them, you should always sit so you can see the door. So that makes you... You come in a position which is called the power position or the command position. You keep your strength. You are strong when you sit there. If you have the back against the wall and you can see the door, because then you can see if somebody is entering, mm-hmm. and that makes you in charge of the room.
Wow.
So if you turn around and sit with your back against the door, then you have no idea what's going to happen behind you. And that actually makes you a bit stressed, not being in control.
Wow.
And that's actually measurable, because you can measure the stress hormones in your body. And if you are sitting so you can see the door, then the stress hormones decreases. Yeah.
Oh, this is so fascinating. This is so fun. We do have to pop out for another break, but everyone, Susanna and I will be right back. Thank you so much. Thank you, Susanna.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you are just joining me today, I am with Susanna Upbolt from the beautiful country of Sweden. We have been having so much fun chatting about feng shui, and oh my gosh, it's so tremendous and how powerful this is. This is so fun. Susanna, I just am so ready to just start doing so many things in my home. You really got me triggered. This is great.
Okay, that's nice.
I would love, before we get into more chatting, could you please share your information so that any listeners, it is on the show page, but if they want to contact you to learn more about this, I would love to have you share your website with everyone.
Okay. I have two websites. I have a school, the Nordic School of Feng Shui, and the address for that school is www.nordic-fengshui.com, And my other page, which is my personal page more, it's www.susannautbult.com. Susanna, U-T-B-U-L-T.
I love it.
It's a strange name, I know.
Now, tell us a little bit about your school and when people contact you, what everything you do, you know, give us an idea of what that entails and how your school works.
Yeah, there are mostly women, like 99% women. Unfortunately, I would say, because this is also for men. But in Sweden, it is a bit more to the feminine side, and the Swedish men have not yet found this, unfortunately. But they will come. They are slow starters, maybe. But when you come to the school, they learn how to use the feng shui tools. That's the step one. And then we just take it to a higher level for each step in the training. So it's like you get a toolbox. I call it a toolbox. Mm-hmm. And you get that the first few days. And then you use the toolbox in your home. And then you use it in the garden. And then you use it, at your work, the workspace. So, yeah, it's like I can see feng shui as a step. You climb one step each time and you learn more. And what you learned on the first step, you just bring it with you to the next step. So for every step you take, you bring all your knowledge with you. And the funny part is that you can never get to the top, because there is no stop of this, the staircase, because
you can
learn feng shui for the rest of your life, and you will never get full of knowledge anyway, because you can do this in so many different ways.
Wow.
There is no right or wrong, really, but there are different ways of doing it and applying feng shui.
Wow, that's amazing. So you've been doing feng shui for 18 years, and there's still more that you can learn?
Oh, much, much more.
This is so fascinating.
Because there are lots of feng shui masters and feng shui teachers, and all of them put their little twist, personal twist to it. And that makes it maybe sometimes difficult, because what should I choose, which is right, which is wrong, and all that. But as long as you understand that there is no right and wrong, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can find your way of doing it that feels good for you, that is right for you.
Yes, yes.
So that's one of the things I have been working with in Sweden to take away the boundaries between the different schools and the different way of doing it, to embrace everybody as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. Oh,
this is just so cool. So really, someone could use feng shui to create the life they want and even, you know, change their life.
I would say, yes, it has changed my life, definitely. When I started with this, I was sick. I was at the bottom. I hit rock bottom. And feng shui helped me to find my balance in life again. So it has definitely changed my life.
So at that point, Susanna, what triggered you to look to feng shui to make some changes in your life?
Yeah, it was a book that came to me the very first time. And I was interested, and I looked in this book, and then I went skiing for a week, and I slept so badly in this little cottage up in the mountains. And then I realized that there was a mirror that was pointing directly at me and my bed when I was trying to sleep. And then I remembered, Wow. In one of the books, it says that you should not see yourself when you're lying down in your bed. So I just put something over it. I think it was a big towel. I just hung it mm-hmm. over, and then I slept better immediately.
Oh my gosh.
So then I thought, oh, wow, maybe there is something in this teachings. So that was the starting point for me. And then I just learned more and more and get more and more interested.
Oh, my gosh, that is so fascinating. You know, an example like that, just having a mirror face your bed, make a difference on how we sleep at night. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Because the mirror makes the room more busy,
mm-hmm.
depending on what it's reflecting. So it's like when you have your energy field, your aura, and when you are moving, your aura and your energy is reflected in the mirror. So if you just kind of close the mirror and you hang something in front, then the room will be more calm and still, and then you will sleep better.
Oh, wow.
And in the morning, you can just take the towel away, and the room mm-hmm. is okay again.
Yes. Any recommendations for someone in, let's say, the office of their home where they run their business or do their work? What would be something good color-wise or theme-wise in that type of scenario with a business?
I would say white is good, because white is the metal element, and the metal element makes you focus. That's a focused energy. So if you have difficulties to be focused on what you are doing, you can have a white desk, for instance. If I'm working at a brown desk, that makes me sleepy, because that's the wood element, and that's it's the earth element, because it's chopped wood. So the earth element, and that makes me a bit sleepy, because it's the energy is downwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it also depending on what kind of person you are. If you are like a very focused person from the beginning, then you might not need that white desk. Why would also say that avoid to have green walls in that office, because the green makes you also relaxed, so you will not get so much work done if you have greens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that
but
is
also,
so fun.
There's a difference between green and green, of course, because there is this active, like lime green, and also you can have a more olive green that's completely different. But in general, avoid the green. But you should have potted plants, though.
Yes.
That's not the same. You need the potted plants.
So have the potted plants around the house. And something that I see you've mentioned, that it's possible to mix feng shui with the teachings of Bob Proctor. Tell us who
yeah.
Bob Proctor and what is that entail?
Yeah, Bob Proctor, he's a very wise man, I think. He has been working with how you are thinking, how you turn thoughts into reality, and you can create your life, a better life, just with the way you are thinking and your state of mind. And he has been working with that for, I think, almost 55 years or so. He's from Canada, and he's one of my mentors. And I have realized that I can do a lot with your home in terms of feng shui and helping with the colors and all that, the shapes and all. But still, it's not magic, so you still have some work to do, and that kind of work you can do with your mind. And I have been using Bob Proctor's teaching just to work with the mind and to work with yourself and to get rid of old paradigms, for instance, because the paradigms are affecting you badly. And that is holding you back, your old paradigms, maybe somebody else's paradigms. You have taken them on your parents' habits, and maybe that's holding you back, and maybe that's make you feel less than. And you know, there are different stories in every families and for every person.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like personal development in on a high level, I would say, and it's very exciting, and also it's so well needed for
yes.
people in general.
Yes, this, I mean, this is just huge. I just love this. I am so excited. We are down to just a couple more minutes of the show, Susanna. What last words would you like to share with the listeners today?
Yeah, I would like you to go home and look at your home, to look, do I have some clutter? What does it look like in my hallway? Take all your clutter and declutter, because that's the foundation of everything, to make the energy flow. So and that's also quite easy to do, and it doesn't cost any money and all that. And also I would like to say, because there are sometimes people think that, oh, feng shui, then you need to have expensive design things, and they think that it's kind of an interior design style, and it's not, because it's a way of thinking when you are decorating with any style you like. So I think that's important to understand, that it's not the same as a style. It's just a way of using great tools to create great rooms.
Yes. So would you say really someone could rearrange their house, make a huge difference in the energy flow, and really not spend any money, just rearrange what they already have?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do most of the time, just rearranging what they already have.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to buy anything. Maybe a potted plant, though,
yes,
if they don't
yes.
have any.
Oh,
but,
yes.
Otherwise, you can use what you have. And most of the time, it's not buying stuff. It's more like getting rid of some stuff,
mm-hmm.
because most of us have too much. And it's not about throwing away, because we believe in of course, to recycle and to give away or to sell it and to let somebody else use it and to be happy for it.
Yes, yes.
So no expenses needed at all.
Yes. This is just so fantastic. I'm just so excited. I'm so thrilled to have had you with us today, Susanna.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Gosh, just fantastic. We are going to have to connect again, because you have a lot more to share. I can tell. This is huge.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad
you get inspired.
Hopefully,
I yes. have inspired somebody else out there
yes.
as well.
Yes, I believe that you have a lot of people thinking about this today. This was just, I mean, what a difference this can make for so many. It's very, very exciting. I'm excited for the world. This is cool.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's really simple.
Yes.
And you can do so much with so simple tools and
yes.
With no money.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Susanna, thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
And thank you.
Love, hugs, and blessings. And to our listeners out there, love, hugs, and blessings, and a happy day to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.